Praise the Lord. The entrance of God's word brings light. Right. And it's not by accident that we always have the word at the end, because we want you to receive that word and go, and then to make a difference in your life. 30 minutes is too long to get the word of God. You probably need 5 minutes. But God is gracious that we have a whole 30 minutes. So I told Pastor, no problem. Whatever we have left, we do it next time. Praise the Lord. Let's bow down our heads. Let's be in attitude of prayer. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we bless you. Lord, we bless you. Yes, Lord, we bless you. 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 The anointing of yesterday is not sufficient for this hour. Let's ask God for a fresh breath of his anointing. There is an anointing to speak the word, and there is an anointing to hear, so that the buying and selling that goes on in the flesh and in the spirit will not take that critical word that God has prepared for you when it is coming forth. So I want you to open your heart to him and say, Father, send me a word that is for my situation. Send me a word that will make an impact. Send me a word that will change my situation. Send me a word, oh my Father, because you love me. Not because any of us deserve it. We are vessels in his hand. Some vessels were crafted like big clay pots to contain water. Some are like small vials to contain medicine. Some are meant to contain perfume that change the whole environment. We are different, yet he's our God. So different are also our issues before him, yet he's able to attend to all of it. Let's ask him. Let's ask him. Let's ask him. Father, send your word to us today. Father, help us, O Lord God, to hear from you. Help us to share, O Lord God. Help us, O Lord God, to minister. Help us in every way. Whatsoever want to hold us back, whatsoever sin and iniquity want to keep us abed, the blood of Jesus that atoned for our sin, we truly atone for all of them today in Jesus' name. Thank you, our Father. Thank you, our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. The title of the short message will be Exceeding Riches of God's Grace. Exceeding Riches of God's Grace. Picture yourself driving on a country road, for those that have cars, and those who don't have, the manufacturer is going to make your own, so don't worry, your own is still coming. And then you see a man frantically waving you down, and it's all in his pants, no clothes. Are you likely to stop? Honestly, no. You probably want to move a little bit to the other side and pass him by, because your first impression probably is a madman, isn't it? Yes, it happened to a man way back in Nigeria, I worry. Actually, he was driving his brand new 505 Peugeot car, and then armed robbers waylaid him. They took the car, and to try and immobilize him a little bit, they removed all his clothing, maybe only his pants, so that he won't have the grace to run after them and call police. They did not kill him. So when they've driven off with his car, then he was trying to stop other cars to help him. Nobody's willing to stop. Absolutely nobody. And then a man riding a motorcycle came around. We call it Okada. Then he shouted, I'm not a madman. Please stop. Help me. Then the man stopped. What is the problem? He then narrated his story, and the man gave him one of his outer clothing he now put him on a bike to go to the man's house to try and remediate the situation. What is it that makes someone find grace in the eyes of another? What is it that will make you go out of your way to help somebody, even though the situation does not look right for you to do it? So that's what we're going to dwell a little bit today, exceeding riches of God's grace. And a similar story like that is also in the Bible. A man was waylaid, he was robbed, he was beaten. There was blood all over him. And the people that were chosen to protect them, to intercede to God for them, the pastors, the priests, saw the man and passed by on the other side. The Levite, a Levite was passing by, he saw the man, he passed on the other side. It was only a Samaritan who are not Jews, who are not having the word like we have it, was one that deemed it fit to go and carry this wounded man, take him to an inn and attend to his wound and pay from his pocket to look after that man. Whatever grace you need to get out of your peculiar situation, God will make it open to you from today in Jesus' name. What is grace? Undeserved acceptance and love received from another person. Grace is undeserved acceptance and love received from another. The person does not deserve it in any way. Especially that characteristic attitude of God in providing salvation for sinners. Praise the Lord. That is grace. It's also related to joy and pleasure. Something delightful, attractive, something that gives pleasure, something that brings pleasure to others. Not what you do that brings distress to them. That man that was helped was probably so relieved, even though he has lost his car. But at least all the people who thought he was a madman, they will no longer continue to see him on the road as a madman. So our text is from Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 7. The title is Exceeding Riches of God's Grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 7. I read. But God, this is coming after so many things. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. There's a lot of things there that we probably need to break down a little bit for us all to grasp and understand. God will give us the grace to understand his word in Jesus' name. God is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. When exactly did God decide that you are going to be born? Was it before your parents met? Say, I knew you before I formed you in the womb? Or was it before he even laid the foundation of the earth? Before he put molten fire in the belly of the earth to make it his foundation so that every other thing will just be around him? Right? I've asked this before. How old is the earth? Thank God I'm a geologist. It's 4.5 billion years old. Was this really how long God has known you? Because before he laid the foundation of the earth, he has known you. That's why in Job 42 verse 2, the purpose he has in his mind, when he crafted you together, cannot be withheld from him. He has something in his mind when he made you. And that cannot be held back from him. Praise the Lord. And then he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But we are sitting here now. How come we are sitting in heavenly places? Because God is not bound by time. You may not know it, but he said you are sitting together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. He lives out of time. Right? So what is going to happen 1,000 years from now? He knows it. It's already decided. And he can speak of it as if it's going to happen tomorrow or the next minute. No wonder the disciples say 1,000 years is like a day in his sight. That is the way it is. How many of us will live to 1,000 years old? So if he says it, it's like a day, which means really we can be assured that he has said it, that maybe we are really all sitting in heavenly places with Christ. And then in the ages to come, that is in eternity we are going to spend with him, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us. He is kind towards us because of himself, not because of the murderer Moses or the murderer Paul, that he saved to come and be part of the apostles. No. He is kind towards us because of him. That's why it's exceeding riches of his grace. I've divided this into about 12 parts, so maybe we take like 4 parts today, and then the rest will be exceeding riches part 2. Praise the Lord. So in the Psalms, it was seen as gracious assistance of God in times of need. Let's quickly open to Psalm 4 verse 1. If God does not help you, who is going to help you? Right? So the psalmist recognized it. In short, when he did wrong, and God was giving him an option, how am I going to deal with you in this situation? He preferred to fall into the hand of God, because God will deal with him with a lot of mercy. Right? Not like man. If you do something to a man, and he didn't like it, he's going to be waiting patiently for you to a point where he can hit you back. And it even happened between couples. Right? You said you insulted my mom. Is that so? Okay, I'm going to wait till any of your family members will come to this house. They will give them a piece of my mind. That is the way it is, isn't it? Psalm 4 verse 1. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. It's a cry of a man that knows that it's only God that can help him. The help of man is useless. It's only God that can help him. That's why he cried unto him. Whatever distress you have, it's God that you should cry to first. It's God that you will cry to. And God is so gracious that he has put his spirit in us so that we can get a counsel of his spirit. The counsel of the Holy Spirit is not an advice. The type you get from your friend, I have this problem, how am I going to do it? No. The counsel of the Holy Spirit, which you will get from God when you call unto him in your distress, is God's plan and direction for you in that situation. Praise the Lord. It supersedes what the teachers, the boss, your elders around may have to advise you concerning the situation. Praise the Lord. So that is it. His God is going to help him, and he realized that he has to cry unto God to help him in this distress, because God is the one that will hear his prayer. In Psalm 86 verse 15, Psalm 86 verse 15, but you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. This is the personal relationship that the psalmist had with God. Praise the Lord. This is what he has observed from his experience. No wonder we can sing that his compassion fail not. They are renewed every morning. Why didn't he leave the one he has given us yesterday to last for another day? Right? You take a cup to somebody in a gathering, like the gathering we had not long ago, and then he's filling wine for you in the cup. Ordinarily, etiquette required that, okay, when you fill about half you should leave it just in case you won't be able to finish the wine. But if you fill to the brim, okay, maybe he's giving you. But what sense is there for him to fill the wine to the brim and then he's pouring it and the wine is running over? Right? It's to show you that whatever he's supplying it is excess. That's what the psalmist said. My cup runneth over. It was sufficient for the cup to be filled to the brim. That's all the container can take. Right? Like I said earlier, we are clay that he has decided to put his treasure in. And just for his grace, he gave you 18 billion brain cells. And in your whole lifetime, even Methuselah that lived 969 years, he probably wouldn't use more than 6% of it. Genesis used 6%. Average man used about 5%. Why did he do that? He gave you 20 gifts. It's only one of it you are going to use your entire lifetime. Just for you to know that wherever he has it is more than abundance. I want you to put your focus on God so that it will help you to see his eyes through his eyes in your situation. It will help you to have a better understanding of what he's working in you. Because whether we appreciate it or know it or not, our lives are not in our hands. It's in his hands. And he charts it and directs it the way he desires. That is the God that we serve. Praise the Lord. God made one attractive or favorable in the eyes of another. Somebody said, many a man in love with a dimple makes the mistake of marrying the whole girl. The only thing that separates the girl from the other is that she has a beautiful dimple whenever she smiles. And that's the one that the man is in the man's head. Praise God. But God is one that makes someone attractive in the eyes of another. You know, it's typical you see some couples wonder, but what did they see? What did this man see in this lady? Isn't it? But that is the way it is. It's the way, that's why they say beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Genesis chapter 39, verse 21. Genesis chapter 39, verse 21. It's going to be about Joseph in the prison. I had this childhood friend I grew up with. Right from when we were in primary one, age five, we became friends. So we go about and do all the escapades together that children typically would do. So, unfortunately, he didn't go to college. And then he was working as a foreman or a supervisor in Jinkapa Construction. Jinkapa is, they do construction for us in Nigeria. So he became the leader of the union. So one time there was disagreement between the union and the management. So it led to some little riot. And they called in police. So inevitably he was the leader of the union, so he was arrested. I knew already because of his native sense how the police, typically in Nigeria, would treat people that are brought to serve. So he hid a lot of money in his pants. So of course when they got to the police station and they are going to put him in cell, they have to remove his clothes. So they remove his clothes one by one and then it remains the pants. So as he was pushed into the cell, the normal baptism they give to people in the cell is to give them a serious beating. So he got there, and the leader of the people in the cell was coming, getting his boys to come and give him the beating. Then he shouted on them, "Chill! State money is here." That means here, oh, state one, B. State money is here. So he brought out the money and gave to them. And that was what spared him from the serious beating, because they can use the money and pass it to some of the police to help them get either smoke or drink or whatever they want to get. So that is the way it is exactly in most prisons. Even when you watch movies today, the prisoners, they give themselves a serious beating. That's their pastime. Genesis 39, verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. The people in prison are hardened criminals. They are the people that probably commit all kind of atrocious offense that we deem it fit that they can't stay with ordinary people in the society. That's where they were put in prison. And yet, when Joseph was put in prison for what he did not do, that was where God prepared him to know how to manage difficult people. That was what God gave him the grace to be able to overcome prison life and be the one in charge of very difficult, hardened criminals. Whatever he did or whatever he needed to do that, only God knew, only God gave it to him. That is the way it worked. If God's grace is with you, he will make you exceed in many areas that others could have failed easily. Many things others could have done and they didn't do it very well. You just find out that you do it and things are working for you because his exceeding grace is with you. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 21 and 22, you can just write down, I will read it. Exodus 3, 21 to 22. And I will give these people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be, when you go, that you shall not go empty-handed. But every woman shall ask of her neighbor, namely of her who dwells near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing, and you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians. For a long time, they were slaves, so to say, to the Egyptians, serving them. But when the time came for them to leave, it was a payday. Go and ask them. Whatever you ask, all their precious articles, they are going to give them unto you. That is how God creates favor. Even the people who are supposedly oppressing you, when the time comes, God will give that favor that they will use their own hand to sign positive things concerning you, which they ordinarily would not have been able to do in their own sense. That is the way God does it, to find favor and grace in the sight of another. When I was in the U.S., around 2002, there was a Compassion International, an organization that specialized in finding sponsorship for children all over the world, especially in impoverished nations. So they brought to me, I think, pictures of about 50 children that need sponsorship. And I picked one girl, about 5 years old, in Uganda. Her name is Keringwi Justin. And the amount of money you need to spend every month to sustain her is probably 10 reals. That's all you needed. For sure, if you convert 10 real to my local currency, 4,000 naira, that can take care of a girl's need in the village very well. So we keep exchanging mails. You know, she will write a mail in her language. They will translate it and send to me in the U.S. I will respond. And for now, she should be about 16 years old. So not too long ago when we received the mails, we see how she has grown. We see how the love in her heart has grown. And my wife read the mail. She was shedding tears. What gave her that grace to be the one that's going to be chosen of about 50 children that was in that situation? That's the way God creates favor of one in the sight of the other. Just like the king Ahasuerus loved Esther more than all the other women that came to her, that made a girl that doesn't have father or mother to be the one that will be chosen as a queen in replacement of Vashti, that her beauty got into her head. See, that's the way God does it, that God will turn things around, and then by his grace alone, you will enjoy what you ordinarily are not entitled to. And I just prophesy that whatsoever you are trusting God for, whatsoever you are desiring him to do for you, that by his grace alone, by his grace, not by anything we merit, he will bring it to pass for you in Jesus' name. The time is running fast. I'll just take one more. There is also the reference to a person receiving God's special favor. God was going to destroy the whole earth by water because of their sin. And then Noah was the only one that found that grace in the eyes of the Lord. Genesis 6:8. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that grace that Noah found in the eyes of the Lord saved all the family of Noah. That is the way it is that you may be sitting here because you have found special grace in the sight of God. Yet, you may be the one God has chosen to save all your pagan families and extended families. It's the way God spread that grace. And Moses and the people received grace. Exodus 32-34. But Moses needed more grace. Let's open to Exodus 33, verse 13. I will round up soon. Exodus 33, verse 13. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. This was Moses standing in the gap for the nation Israel. Even though he has found grace in his sight in delivering them from slavery, he still needed more grace. And this was where he prayed that God should show him his ways. All the people, they see the work of God. It was only Moses that knows the way of God. When you know how God does things for you, the circumstance and the situation will not matter because you know he has his way with you. You are peculiar. So he has a peculiar way of dealing with you. Things may not look right to the outside world, but you know because of God and his grace in your life, he will bring things to pass in ways you cannot understand. Praise the Lord. I want to round up with Romans chapter 6, verse 1 to 2. Romans 6, 1 to 2. Grace never gives freedom to sin. God forbid. That's what he said. God forbid. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 to 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? God forbid that we take his grace for granted. And God will help us to have that understanding that his grace is meant to bring his glory, right? And meant to bring gracious things to others. It's not for us to take it for granted and indulge in any kind of immorality. God will help us indeed in Jesus' name. Jeremiah chapter 32, 38 to 41. Jeremiah 32, 38 to 41. They shall be my people. This is the epilogue for exceeding riches of God's grace. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. Then I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from doing them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts so that they will not depart from me. Yes, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and with all my soul. It's like a school teacher, resolute in his mind that this my pupil will pass my course, whatever it needs. So whenever I give you assignment, come and check with me. I'm going to call you to find out if you have done your homework. If you haven't done it, check with me. Let me correct it ahead of the time. This is the kind of thing God has put in us. He put his spirit in us that when you are doing something that is not right, he corrects you. Like I told you, the counsel of the Holy Spirit is direction. So that you will not miss it, so that you can follow that path unto salvation that he has charted for you. We have a song as we make the altar call. There are two levels of grace. There is the grace to say no to temptation, and there is the grace to overcome every misdeed you have made. But if you have not given your life to Christ, you don't even have a share in God's grace. You don't even have any bearing to come and associate with God's people and say you want to enjoy His grace. So this is the time. This is the time for you to yield yourself to the grace God has provided. For by grace are we saved, not by work. So if you have not given your life to Christ, if you are yet to yield your life to Christ, this is the time. I want all heads bowed. I want all heads bowed, all eyes closed. If you want to give your life to Christ, please raise up your hand. If you want to join the family of God and the people that can appropriate God's grace, please raise up your hand. Now is the acceptable time of salvation. Raise up your hand if you want to give your life to Christ. The whole world and everything it has cannot be compared to the value of a soul. Your soul is worth all the wealth in the world. Thank you, my sister. Any other? If you want to give your life to Christ, all heads bowed, all eyes closed, you want to surrender your life to Christ, please raise up your hand. Can somebody help us to give a decision card to our sister, please? The usher. Help us to give a decision card to our sister. Please, all eyes closed, all heads bowed. This is a solemn moment. It's not a time to open your eyes and see who is just coming to the fold of Christ or not. Father, we thank you very much for your grace. There's nothing we could do on our own, but you have finished the work for us through Christ. And that is why we are here, my Father. And that is why, O Lord God, we can call ourselves your children because of your saving grace. We thank you for your daughter that you have done to yourself. Angels are rejoicing in heaven because of this one that has given her life. And we thank you, O Lord, that you will sustain her and you will encourage her even in the life that she will continue to live from now on as a child of God. In Jesus' name we pray. I want us to rise. We are going to sing a song. I'm a new creation.
I am a new creation, no more in condemnation, here in the grace of God I stand. My heart is overflowing, my love just keeps on growing, here in the grace of God I stand. And I will praise you, Lord. I will praise you, Lord, and I will sing all that you have done. A joy that knows no limits, a lightness in my spirit, hearing the grace of God I stand.
We have just sung the song. There is the grace to say no to temptation like Joseph did. He was not considering Potiphar. He was considering God. If he had considered Potiphar, the woman would have convinced him, you know, my husband will travel for 4 days, 5 days. That is the time. But there is grace in the house to say no. If you desire that grace, that no matter the temptation that comes at you, no matter the pressure of school fees you need to pay, you will still stand upright and say no in the presence of that temptation. I want you to raise up your hand so that we just have a word with you, a prayer with you. The grace to say no to whatever temptation the enemy wants to bring, raise up your hand. Father, we thank you very much for these ones who are trusting you for that grace to say no. In the face of temptation that may come to them, no matter the temptation, no matter how it may look, Father, you are more than able. That's one of the reasons you give us grace, to turn our back and say no. Whatever the consequence of your decision, you are ready to face it, because God will not abandon you. God will not leave you. So shall it be, O my Father, that these ones will have that abundant grace, your exceeding grace, because you have it in more than enough supply for them to live a life that is victorious over every form of sin. In Jesus' name we pray. The other thing we're going to pray to before we close is the grace to overcome your misdeed, like David. The man who impregnated the girl is equally as guilty as the lady who went and committed abortion. No matter what it is you have done, we have seen Moses that killed somebody in broad daylight with his own hand. We have seen Apostle Paul that was actually hunting down Christians. Yet God's grace was sufficient for them to overcome whatever past they have done and still be very effective and useful in his vineyard. So that's the grace we are asking. No matter what past misdeed you have, no matter what mistake you have made, that God will give us the grace to overcome it. Because the devil has a sneaky way of reminding you whenever something happens. Is it not because you did this, that's what happened to you? Meanwhile, God has forgotten. He has wiped away all of the sin. He didn't have it in remembrance. So if you want that grace to be able to live your life from now on without looking back, without thinking of whatever it is that we have done that is a mistake, raise up your hand. Let us just word of praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for these ones as well. And we pray, O Lord God, that the grace to overcome whatever misdeed they have done, whatever looked like a mistake to them, because we know with you there are no mistakes. Everything that you allow us to go through, there are things you want to use for your honor and glory. That you will bring that honor and glory in their life from henceforth, O Lord. That the enemy will not be able to torment them with whatever past choice they have made. In Jesus' name we pray. I'm a new creation. No more in condemnation. Here in the grace of God I stand.
My love just keeps on growing. Here
is the grace of God. Let's just thank the Lord. Just think about that word, grace. If it was not for the grace of God, if it was not for that compassion of God, if it was not for that love that God had upon you, if it was not that spirit of grace that he had, with which he looked upon you and me and said, I need to take my child out of the miry clay. I need to set my child on solid rock. And that's what God has done. That is the grace of God. You and I today can talk about God. You and I can today mention the name of God just because of the grace of God in our life. Let's learn to appreciate who God is. Let's learn to appreciate what God has done. And let's just thank the Lord. Father God, we just want to thank and praise you, Lord Father. We thank you, Father God, that out of your love, out of your compassion, out of your grace for us, Lord, you chose us. And today we can stand victorious in this world, Lord Father. And Father God, we thank you, Lord, that you have reminded us again today, Lord, that it is your grace that is moving us daily forward, step by step. We thank you, we praise you, Lord. Father God, we thank you for the servant who you have used this day, Lord Father. I pray, Lord, that you will continue to bless him more and more, Lord Father. Pour out your anointing upon him, Lord Father. That even as he continues to share with us in days to come, you will speak through him to us, Lord Father. We thank you. We praise you. Father God, we commit the rest of the time. We commit the rest of the day into your hands, Lord Father. Everything that's got to be done, every task that we have to do during the week, we pray, Lord, that your grace will be with us in everything that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Before we share the grace, just 2 points we need to remember. Number one is we have the picnic, which is just coming up in a few minutes' time. So please remember to wend your way towards Riam Park. That's where we have the church picnic. That's number one. Number two, next week, next Friday is Good Friday. We will not be having Friday school. Please remember, children do not have Friday school next week. Children need to be in church with the parents. So please make sure that your children are in church with you next week. Let's share the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you all.